Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Saints Hour. Mike Hoss now talking with former Saints running back Mark Ingram. He was the 2011 first round pick. And I got to ask you right off the bat, because I know you're friends with Cam. Does he give you a hard time about being 2011 D1A and you're D1B? Does he give you a hard time?
No, not Cam. He talks mess about a lot of things, but surprisingly that you mentioned it, that's never been one of them.
So you win the Heisman in 2009. You've already answered one of my questions, which was going to be, where is it? And it's sitting right behind you. There it is.
I didn't have it for a long time, man. I won it my sophomore year, and it's not something that I think you bring back to the dorm room. You know what I mean? So my mom had it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it could have been a pride piece. You know, it could have been a negotiation piece.
Yeah.
But my mom had it for just up until probably a year ago. I just finally got it. And so it's right there now. And I actually got the ball, the Russian yards ball right there, where my thumbs that you can see kind of like the little tag right there. The all-time rushing record, that ball is right there. And, obviously that'll be going down, and Alvin will have his ball hanging up somewhere soon.
Three Pro Bowls, 12 years. Again, Alvin needs 12 yards, and all records, you know, this are meant to be broken, and to have Alvin do it. And he could have, like you know, had kind of, we were talking to Mickey kind of off air, could have happened very easily Sunday in Carolina, and it might have led, who knows, to a victory. A lot of things going to change. Who knows?
Right.
But it's going to happen against the Dirty Birds. And I would assume for your purposes, it couldn't happen to a better person, because I know how close you are.
Yeah, man, that's my brother, man. And I was just talking to him. Like you said, we were talking off the camera a little bit, and I was messing with him. I was like, I know you ain't trying to hear this right now. I was like, but you should have just went and broke the record and put me out of my misery last week. You know what I mean? Went for $170, a career day plus a record. That would have been just right. But no, he timed it great, man. He'll be able to break the record at home in front of the Saints faithful, and he'll be able to do it against our hated rivals who we don't really like that much. So I think he timed it perfectly, and just what he's been able to accomplish throughout his career, how he's grown as a man, as a player, as a leader. I'm just super happy for him. And like you said, all records are meant to be broken, and I'm just surprised it took him this long to do it.
Yet, you know, your friends are hurting right now, right? The friends in that building are hurting. Yeah. You played for Baltimore and you played for Houston with Saban and then Sean Payton. So I don't know if you've ever kind of gone through anything like this, but you know, how do they come out on the other end? I mean, it's obviously from within.
Yeah, obviously, you say that I haven't experienced it, but I have. I was in Houston that year when we won our first game, and then we lost like 6 or 7 straight. So I was there 1-7, and man, it was tough coming into the building every day. And you know, you just kind of had to check yourself before you wrecked yourself. You know what I mean? And fortunately, the Saints came and traded back for me during that year. So I got out of it halfway through, you know, and I appreciate the Texans for giving me the opportunity. They believed in me. I was able to go there and be productive. And if I didn't have that chapter of my life, that chapter of my career, maybe the Saints never trade back for me. You know what I mean? And so thankful I was able to go there, earn a starting job, be productive, show that I could still play at a high level. And the Saints essentially traded back for me and extended me a year. So I was able to finish my career where I began. So I'm thankful for the Houston Texans for that. But at the same time, getting back to you, what you asked is, man, it just comes from everyone, you know, having to change your attitude, change your mindset. You have to go in there trying to win each day, win each moment. How do you capitalize? How do you put yourself and prepare to capitalize on Sundays when the moments get big? And they have the leadership in that locker room. They have the type of players in that locker room. Just have to be able to put it together, man. I have the most faith, you know, DeMario, Cam, Alvin. There's just a number of guys who have been there for so long, part of these winning teams, part of the culture shift that we had in New Orleans. And they know what it takes, man. And, you know, Coach Rizzi, he's a great guy. Everyone loves him. I loved him when I was there. I still love him still to this day. Obviously, Mickey and everyone in that organization, man, I have complete faith and complete belief. Obviously, it's a tough time, a tough situation right now going on this week, but the Saints will prevail, and there will be better days in the future.
We are talking with former Saints running back Mark Ingram, and you talked about it, culture, leadership. Now, if I were to talk to kind of current players, they're somewhat limited, so former players can give me a better picture of the Saints organization, Mrs. Benson, the culture, the leadership, because you, like you say, you've been on, you know, you're in Baltimore, you're in Houston. Things aren't always as rosy as they pictured. Give me a sense of this organization and this leadership.
I mean, this organization is first class, man, and it's a winning organization. It's a championship organization, and they have a championship mindset. You go from top to bottom, from Miss B, the support she gives to everyone in the building, the support she gives to the players, the support she gives to the city. She has so much love, and thankful and grateful to have her as an owner, because she's just amazing, amazing woman, an amazing owner. And being a player who has played in a few different organizations, man, I'm just super thankful that I had the chance to play for Mr. B and now obviously Miss B. Then you go from, you know, the administration, from the front office, men who are honest, you know what I mean? Who have transparency. That's all you ask for as a player, is for someone to be transparent with you, someone to be honest with you. And I was fortunate enough to have that, throughout my nearly 10 years in New Orleans. And then just from the locker room, from the training room, to the equipment, to the cafeteria, to people who take care of the fields, everyone in that organization, man, they love the Saints and they want the best for the Saints. And it's a great organization to be proud of. It's a first class organization, and they deserve, and the city, man, the fans who support us, man, it's nothing like it's like no other. The Saints and New Orleans are intertwined. They're one. And when one isn't doing well, the other isn't doing well. You know, it kind of is cohesive in that way. And the fans deserve a winning football team. They deserve a championship football team. And the players in the locker room, I know they grinding their butt off. I know a lot of them personally and close still to this day. Still talk to them all the time. Cam, DeMario, AK, amongst many others. Big C's, Ruiz. And, man, it's just I believe in this team. I believe in who they have in that building, man, because it's all first-class individuals who have the same mindset. And like you said, man, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. It's not always easy. You know, the measure of a man is how you respond to adversity. The measure of your character is how you respond when things aren't going your way. And it's not always sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes you're going to hit valleys. Sometimes you're going to hit dark spots. And ultimately, how you respond is what you'll be measured as. And I think the right people in that locker room, I think the right people in that building, the right ownership, the right front office, the right players, the right everyone in that building, man, from equipment to training to in the cafeteria, man, to the weight room, have a championship mindset. And I believe in everyone in that organization.
You've watched now from a different perspective, obviously from the media side. I love your setup you got there in your house or your office. But
doing a little podcasting. So
yeah, no, it looks great.
Thank you.
And I was the devaluation in the last 5 years of the running back, like to watch it happen physically. Oh, no way. I mean, if we'd been talking about Saquon Barkley 3 years
ago, right?
I mean, there would have been a different conversation. Like, what happened? Yeah. How did we devalue the position so much that then this year go, oh my God, we got to run the ball. Like, what? Right. How?
I think people just overlook the fact of there's so much running back by committee and they think that they could get a runner that can affect the game, that could be special in later rounds. And yes, they might be able to be productive, and yes, they might be able to be a good player. But when you have a special player at the running back position, you need to appreciate and value it just like you do any other position, because you see how Saquon Barkley is affecting the Philadelphia Eagles. You see how Alvin Kamara affects the New Orleans Saints, the amounts of production he has in both the run game and both the pass game. And that is stressful for a defense, and that opens up the entire offense. You talk about Christian McCaffrey, you know, he's been hurt this year, but look at what he's done for the 49ers. And
even Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Holy cow.
Everyone was talking about he was dead. Like he just didn't exist no
that's
more.
That's what I mean. I think it's crazy.
The man's about to go for 2,000 yards. And then you talk about Saquon Barkley is a perfect example to me, because the Giants and their fans, like, how do you not pay this man? Now he goes to your arch rival, and now he is torching you and showing his value to essentially one of your division rivals. And it's just
showing his backside.
Yes.
He's leaping up, showing his backside.
Yeah, hurling people backwards. But come on, man, we got to show the running back love. We got to show the running back respect, man, because that position does so much. That position has to run the ball inside, run the ball outside. That position has to come out the backfield and catch the ball. That position has to pick up pass protection. And I think that's where the devaluation comes in. Oh, they try to pigeonhole you. Oh, this guy's just an inside runner. Oh, this guy's just a power runner. Oh, this guy's just a utility player. Oh, this guy is just a third down guy. But no, when you have one particular player who can do everything very well, you have to value them and compensate them for that. Like the Bengals, they let go of Joe Mixon. Like, what are you doing? Like, Joe Mixon is going crazy right now in Houston. You know what I mean? So I'm just so thankful that these backs who were underappreciated are now showing their worth, showing their value, and hopefully they can continue to be compensated for that.
More with former Saints running back Mark Ingram here on the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are talking with former Saints running back Mark Ingram, you know, number 28, number 22, number 21, number 2, number 14. You know, Mark, my job is the play-by-play. I have to know the numbers of the
number
players.
Five, too.
Number five. You see, you're killing me. But I do, on your Twitter, it's at Mark Ingram 22, right?
At Mark Ingram the second.
The second. So is there, of those... Wow, was that? There's six total. What is your favorite?
My favorite.
What's
is
your number?
My number's 22, man. It's
okay.
Always been Deuce Deuce. It's always been Deuce Deuce, man. And that was me in college. And unfortunately, when I got to the Saints, TP, another great 22, he had it. And so I feel like that 22 number is a special number for the Saints, man, because it's always dawned by a dog. You know what I mean? It's always done by a dog. And now we got my boy Rashid Shaheed out there balling in the deuce. So super proud to see that 22 legacy getting carried on. And the 28 was a special number for me, too, because me and my dad both got drafted number 28th overall. So not having 22 sucked coming out, but the 28 had a special meaning. Then the 22, then when I got to Baltimore, Jimmy Smith, who was in our 2011 draft class, he had 22. He was like there for 10 years. He wouldn't give it, so I put on a 2-1, which was clean. I liked the 2-1. Then went to Houston. I had the choice of the 22 and or the deuce. And, you know, I'm marking him the second, so I just rocked with the deuce. Came back to New Orleans. They didn't have no numbers available, so I went with 14. 14 was the best of the worst. And then, Chauncey still had 22. Then he left, and And I had number 5 because I hated the 14. And then he left, and then I got my 22 back. So
I must have missed the 5. That's how many daggone jerseys you have. I missed it.
So the 14, it was the 5 was a transition from 14 to 22. I didn't like 14 no more. Chauncey was still there, had 22. So I had number 5 all preseason. And then he got traded to Philly, and then before the regular season, he got traded to Philly, and that's when I ended up getting my 22. Rightfully so.
You've mentioned Deuce a couple of times, and you know he's my color analyst sit beside him, and he's the best. I mean, just in all phases. And we do talk about all records are meant to be broken, but I've told Deuce this. He has a record that's total yards from scrimmage for the season, not career, and it's 2,157 yards. So he did it back in 2003. It's 1,641 rushing. So to beat it, you'd have to have about 1,100 yards rushing and receiving. And I don't care if they go to 18 games or whatever. So I look at that season record. So he's the next guy on the list is George Rogers, 1981. Mm. Then Dalton Hilliard, 1989. To me, the way the NFL is structured now, I don't think you're going to see a guy with 1,100 yards rushing and 1,100 yards receiving. I think that record for Deuce, to me, it feels pretty solid.
I mean, you talk about 2,100 scrimmage yards. That's an elite season there.
Right.
That is huge. That's a big number. And you talk about 1,600 rushing. That's a big number in itself. Then to add another 500 or 400 and change receiving, that just shows his versatility and the type of impact that he had as a player. That's a huge number, and Deuce, that might be safe, but
we all say that.
Yeah, the way Alvin is playing, man,
he would be the only guy.
Yeah, he's looking to be able to have his first 1,000-yard rushing season, which is crazy stat, surprising stat, but also, I mean, this is crazy, man. But that's a big number, and it's going to take a special performance, probably like an MVP type of performance, to be able to beat that.
Right. No, I totally agree. You also mentioned we were talking about Double Deuce, and you mentioned your dad. What's the best advice you got from your dad?
Man, I think it was just being life, man. Just, you know, respect people, treat people the right way, and never let nobody outwork you, man. I mean, those things sound so cliche, but those are things that I got brought up on, was respect, manners, treat people the right way. Never let nobody outwork me. And that kind of brought me to where I am now, man. And just always believing in myself, staying confident in myself, family. And, you know, those are just lessons that, you know, my father just kind of instilled in me and ingrained in me. And, you know, it sounds so cliche, but I wish the world would kind of have that same mindset, you know, care for one another, treat people the right way, have manners, have appreciation for, you know, your peers and for people that you don't really know. And work your butt off, man. If you're going to do something, do it the right way. Do it the best of your ability. And it's never going to be, you know, sunshine and rainbows. Everyone has this illusion that people who have success, that it's easy.
That's social media. It's social media, right?
Yep. There's this illusion that success is just easy. And it's not, man. There's no elevator. You can't get on the elevator and go to floor 50. No, you got to walk the stairs, man. You got to take the stairs. You have to take a break. I have to go back down the flight of stairs, but you got to keep climbing. You got to keep climbing. You got to keep going. You got to keep believing and keep persevering, man, because there's always going to be an obstacle. There's always going to be some adversity. And the way you respond, the way you overcome that, it shows the true character and the true value of a man. So all those things I learned from my father, and I'm thankful to my father, because without him, I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't be in this position today. I wouldn't be in this seat today with a 12-year career, with a Heisman Trophy behind me, with, you know, a media career. So I'm just thankful for my father, because he always told me he made a lot of mistakes, that I didn't have to make the mistakes, because I should just learn from him. And I appreciate him, and I love him with all my heart.
You have Jari Evans going into the Ring of Honor in a couple of weeks, Atlanta this week. And so will you be here at all coming up in the next few weeks?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to see if I can.
I don't
know
if you know there's a little Alabama LSU game somewhere in there too.
Yes. I'm trying to see if I can make it to that. And if I can make it to that, I'll be able to make it to Sunday's game and see Alvin beat the record and see, is Ja going in this weekend too?
No, next week, Cleveland, the following weekend, Ja goes into the Ring of Honor.
So I'm plotting on it right now, but at the same time, man, I have this responsibility because I'm the flag football coach of both my daughter's and my son's team, and they play Sundays. So,
hey,
you know,
parenting comes first, man. You just talked about your dad.
Yeah, but I'm like the third, fourth assistant, so I think I can survive.
Wait, you're not even the head coach? Like, you
don't
want to
be the head
on,
coach because I don't want to be the head coach because I don't want parents asking me what time practice is.
Why isn't my kid playing?
Yeah, I don't want parents asking me where the game is at. I want parents asking why my kid ain't playing. No, I could just be there, have hands on to the kids who paying attention, the kids who want to be there, and also be, you know, be there for my kids. So wow. No, but it's a humbling, gratifying experience, man. And I have some of my best joy these days, man. Seeing a kid who, you know, really wasn't active or wanted to be involved, and seeing them get in there and pull flags, or seeing them get in there and score a touchdown. Those are some of my most joyous moments these days. So I'm grateful for it.
We are talking with former Saints running back Mark Ingram, and really enjoying it. Just a few more minutes that we have with him. Do you remember your first touchdown as a Saint?
Yes, sir. Versus the Texans. It was Houston. About a 12-yard run. Running all up Devery Henderson, or Robert Meacham's back. He's all in the way. I'm telling him to get out the way. And, scored a touchdown, man. And I had to thank the Lord, man. Took a knee, thanked the Lord. And I think it put us ahead or put us.
Yeah,
that
was a game winner. Yeah. You're right.
It was a game winner. So,
yep. 2011, week three against Houston. It was actually 13 yards. So give yourself an extra yard.
Okay.
Fourth quarter, you were down 33-32. And it's a 13-yard run, and they go for two, get it, and win the game, 40-33.
Let's
go.
That's right.
Do you remember your last touchdown?
My last touchdown, man. Was it at the Panthers?
Yep,
at the Panthers, yep.
Would have been week three, right before we went to London in 2022. So is that that Sunday before we went to London. So
that's pretty good, huh?
That is good. I mean, there's a lot of touchdowns in between, but I knew you kind of, I was curious about the last was not, I knew you'd remember the first because that would be, and you were spot on, man. It won the game, it was a big run, and you remember telling Meacham to get out of the way.
So he was all in the way, man. Move, man. I'm trying to get somewhere.
So
yeah, man. And, we've
had some time together, which makes us, We've been friends for 20 minutes. So I'm the play-by-play voice now, but I spent 10 years as a fan and a season ticket holder, from 06, for the next 15 years, I was just a fan, man. I didn't think I could be a fan anymore. So, but what I'm about to say is going to sound negative at first, but it's not, because I never considered you a fumbler, right? And you had one fumble in your first 3 years. You had four fumbles in your final 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. So there were times if you did lose the ball and maybe get it back, or if you did fumble, I felt immediately there was a new Mark Ingram, and that sucker was pissed. He ran with an anger that I didn't want to see the fumble, but am I crazy? I mean, it was like a different human came out.
Yeah, man, when fumbling, carrying a ball, man, you're carrying the entire dreams, the aspirations of an entire team, an entire organization, an entire fan base. So never do you want to fumble, right? And it's part of the game these days. These guys are punching out. These guys are ripping. And you never want to fumble. It's never an excuse for it. And every fumble I had, man, it pissed me off, man. And I wanted to make up for it. And so instead of sulking and feeling sorry for myself, I'd always try to make up for it, make a play for it, and show my teammates, like, hey, this doesn't define me. What I'm finna do next defines me. and that's how I try to respond, man. Just try to keep positivity, man, because when you fumble, man, it hurts, man. Fumbling the ball, like, it sucks, man. Like, it hurts bad.
Hard to put it on somebody else, right? I mean, like, you come to the sideline.
Even nowadays, like, I'll be carrying something or something to drop, and they'll be like, fumble. I'll be like, hell no, incomplete pass. Like, we'll live to fight another down. That fumble is something that you don't want, and I appreciate that, what you said, man, because I take pride and take care of the football, and obviously, I had some moments where I fumbled, and there's never a good moment to fumble. But whenever you fumble, man, you want to bounce back and make something happen for your team, man, because You first of all, you beg your defense to stand strong and bail you out of that.
That's right. Help me, man. Help me.
Yeah. Help me get out of the situation. And lastly, give me a chance to repay and show that, hey, I'm that guy. I'm that dude. So I appreciate you realizing that, bro.
Nah, man. You kidding me? I was like, I didn't want to know why it happened, but after it happened, I go, that dude, you were hitting your own teammates. Like, get out of his way, man.
Yeah, man. You got to make up for it, man. You make a mistake. How you respond, man. How you respond to adversity. How you respond to trials and tribulations. It shows the true character of a man, man. I always kind of took pride in that.
Toss to the right side is Kamara. Kamara has a crease, crosses the 30, still on his feet. Alvin Kamara still on his feet, crosses the 40. I believe we saw this last week against the Chargers. His first one was 23. That run is 20. He did not have an explosive run until his 23-yard run and just picked up 20 on that one.
And congrats to my boy AK, man. I love you, and you deserve it, man. And go put that record out of reach, young bull, please.
Yes, a new record and a victory over the Falcons. That'll do.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.